Judgment and grace is low due to lack of skill, lack of opportunity.
Good day. Ibu mama,
Which one? Which one?
Which one?
Those are nothing but wicked.
Good morning, DG, and your team. Good morning to honorable members. Today we once again meet with the Department of Labor. Can I have the agenda, please? Do I have mine? We are meeting with the Department of Labor to hear once again on their strategic plan for 2012. Hopefully this year, 2012, we will hear the new plan. Where you have achieved, you say we have achieved so much. And those that you haven't achieved, I think for this year they will be the priority. I'm Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. And members will introduce themselves. Though I think we are familiar to each other because we meet quite often. But nonetheless, for those who can't remember, we remind ourselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Zola Mlenzana, member of this committee from the Eastern Cape.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I'm Gwesola Jacobs.
Good morning, I'm Herman Groenewald, member of the committee, and I'm representing the North West Province.
I thought, Chair, you were asking members to introduce themselves. I can't be mistaken for anyone of them. Thanks.
The chairman and the one.
Sanbulan.
My name is Patsy Bande, member of this committee. from Mpumalanga Province.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ngosinathi Ndlovu. I'm assigned for the Department of Labor as the Director General. I'm accompanied by a number of officials from the Department of Labor.
morning, everybody. My name is Lerato Mulibasi. I am the Deputy Director General responsible for corporate services.
Morning, Chair and Committee members. My name is Les Kettledust. I'm Deputy Director General responsible for the policy and industrial relations. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Mutunye Mutiba. I'm the Chief Director for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dixon Jenica. I'm Kono. I'm commonly known as Permanent DJ, a liaison officer. Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Tola Mnene, parliamentary liaison officer, Department of Labor.
Good morning. My name is Molawa Mokwatle. I'm in the Department of Labor in the Inspection Services. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dudu Mutwane, Chief Operations Officer.
Good morning, I am Esther Tawani, the Chief Director at the Public Employment Administration. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Moses Zundia. I speak under license for the Minister of Labour.
Good morning, my name is Peggy Matuna, I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Labour.
I'm Khadi Bela,
morning, everyone. My name is Jay Anand, Communications Department of Labor. Anand.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shiva. I'm from PMG. And with your permission, Chairperson, there is a list passing of the delegate.
No, you know what? I think you can also do the mic on this.
Okay.
So that we can all do it.
Good morning. My name is Shifra. I'm from PMG Parliamentary Monitoring Group. And with your permission, Chairperson, there is a list passing through for delegates to sign on behalf of. Thank you.
And then our guest.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Ibrahim Hendrix from Telcom Legal Services. Thanks.
Okay.
Now we know each other without any way. Oh, sorry.
Good morning. My name is Renelle Barreto. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning, everyone. I am Lolu Sibisi, coming from KZN. Ipuza Umfula, Gezubuso, Mthwalume, the committee secretary. Thank you.
Now we know each other. Next week we'll know where Honorable Jacobs will put the hoop. Okay, that was on a lighter note. Honorable DJ, can you now take us through the strategic plan? Because I think you members have got a lot of questions. So without any waste of time, let's just zoom into the presentation.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. In constructing this presentation today, we followed the guideline that was provided to us by the committee in terms of what was expected to be presented today to the best of our ability. Secondly, that the presentation itself will straddle across 7 to 8 different areas of focus, the first one being the mandate, the second one being the medium-term strategic framework and service delivery outcomes that are specific to the Department of Labor, targets and performance. The fourth area is the question of budget allocation, allocations and utilization for 2011 and 12, and we have a separate presentation that will be run by the Chief Financial Officer. The fifth area are the key aspects of the strategic plan. The sixth point will be around the area of key challenges and remedial actions, and I think you will realize, the Chair, then when we present that there are areas where we may have progressed pretty well, but there are areas also where we have not. And we are also pointing out to some of the challenges that we have in areas where we're not making a good progress, or no sufficient progress. The last area is, of course, what is it that we want to solicit from the Labour Portfolio Committee. Now, the Select Committee, Chair. It is the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, Chair. My apologies. The last area would be our expectations from the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, Chair. Yes. So, our apologies very much. I will deal with the first part, Chair, and I will also then ask on the specific plan itself, ask the Chief Operations Officer to come in, whom I also do suspect that in some segment of this presentation he would also ask, she would also ask the Chief Director responsible for planning, monitoring and evaluation, Mr. Motiba, to also come in. And I think the last part of the presentation will then deal with the budget allocations and how we have fed in that regard. The first area, Chairperson, is with regards to our mandate, and we want to restate that our role as the Department of Labour is to make a contribution towards the creation of a conducive environment for investments, economic growth, employment creation, and decent work. And that for us to attain this, we realize the need that first we must have an economy that is quite sustainable, and that for the economy to be sustainable, we need to be able to effectively regulate the labor market system. And in so doing, the question of regulations and appropriate legislation is critical. The question of inspection and monitoring compliance as well as enforcing compliance is another critical area. And that in so doing, we will also be advancing the protection of human rights, whilst on the one hand, we will also be providing employment services to the citizenry. And this regulation will also require that issues of equity have got to be promoted at all material costs, be it across the racial lines as well as women, young people, as well as the disabled. We'll also need to use the existing agencies within the Department of Labour to deal with the issue of social and income protection, and that's basically your compensation fund and your UIF, as well as promoting social dialogue, which is a one unique feature for the South African labour market system and the South African economy in the South African context, in the sense that we have a network and other fora that we use for purposes of social dialogue. Insofar as this report is that as a department will reflect on our 3-year contribution, in other words, our medium-term strategic framework for 2011 to 2016, and we'll want to focus mainly in terms of how we also, in conducting our work, we align to government the outcomes. Outcome 4 talks to decent employment through inclusive economic growth, and two other outcomes talk to, which is outcome 11 and 12, they talk to creating a better country and contributing to a better and safer continent and the world. 12 talks to efficient, effective and development-oriented public service and empowered and inclusive citizenship. The next slide, which is slide 5, I should so think, begins then to deal with the question of how, as a department, we are responding to the broader government outcomes. For instance, outcome 4 on disemployment through inclusive economic growth, with its sub-points, our contribution insofar as that is concerned is through the 7 key strategic objectives of the department. One being our contribution to employment creation, two, promotion of equity in the labor market, three, protecting vulnerable workers. The objective 5 is on strengthening social protection. 6 is promoting sound labor relations. 7 is monitoring the impact of legislation. That talks to outcome 4 of government. Outcome 11, creating a better country and contributing to a safer world and a better world out there in terms of the continent and the globe. Our strategic objective mainly is on strengthening multilateral and bilateral relations, in other words, the work that we do through international institutions and organizations such as the ILO and others. Outcome 12 on efficient and effective and development and a development-oriented public service. Our contribution is around strengthening the institutional capacity of the department, because indeed, if we are to deliver services better and much more better, we would need to have institutional capacity as a department. The last slide that I would want to deal with, Chair, on slide 6, is on the key aspects of the Department of Labor for 2011-12. And let me just point out that the presentation that we also did to the Select Committee at its strategic plan session also, you know, talks to, let me just say, maybe perhaps those points that we raised today are an amplification of these key strategic aspects that are identified. The first one is the implementation of decent work country program, which is an international program. The second area is rebuilding our public employment services. And currently we do so through our, you know, the creation of a database for job seekers as well as job opportunities and matching and placement and so forth. You will see that those issues will also talk to that, but also you will recall, Chair, that when we met in Gordon's Bay, we then took the Select Committee through our rethinking around this question to then say we need to go beyond matching, we need to go beyond just a database on the question of job seekers and job opportunities and so forth. We need to broaden the horizon insofar as the whole question of how we define our own contribution towards the broader government agenda on the question of job creation. The third area is strengthening the Department of Labor insofar as the inspectorate is concerned, and by so doing, by promoting decent work and addressing the vulnerability of the particular sectors within of workers. I think we also did say that we have a project that is beginning to focus, that is focusing on the inspection and enforcement services of the department, which would have to address the issues of capacity constraints at that level, but also, importantly, the question of how we would need to build and create a particular level of specialization, so that kind of specialization would assist us in ensuring the enforcement part insofar as compliance with legislation as well as effective monitoring. The fourth area is strengthening social security, including reintegration of workers into the labor market and the restructuring of the sheltered employment the project in terms of how we have got to turn it around itself as an establishment, but also turning it around from a service delivery point of view. The last area is strengthening the institutional capacity of the department. Again, what we then did when we were in Gordon's Bay, we also reflected on the issue of organizational review as a specific area of focus in terms of the identified the priority projects, precisely because we feel that we have got to respond to service delivery challenges. And if we have got to respond to service delivery challenges in the most acceptable manner, the question of institutional capacity becomes key. It's quite critical. It is at this point, Chair, that I would then respectfully ask that I leave this part of the presentation and ask the Chief Operations Officer to come in insofar as the presentation of the strategic plan, which with a specific focus on the question of targets and performance. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, sir. Chair, the presentation from here moving forward. The presentation from here moving forward has key performance indicators, the targets, and the progress to date up to the end of December, which is quarter three. And right at the back, there'll be challenges, as the DG has mentioned, and the assistance that we would like the committee to give to us. As the DG has alluded to on slide 5, we've got the key strategic objectives. I will tackle strategic objective number 1, contribution to employment creation. On these, our key performance indicator, the first one, was that the employment services policy and related regulations must be in place. We know now the Employment Services Bill has been approved and has been published for comments, and public consultations have been done throughout the country. That was last year, and it is currently in NEDLAG for discussion with stakeholders. Mr. Mkhalipi 2 weeks ago gave a comprehensive update on where the bills are at this point. The next point is the number of job seekers registered on the system and profiled. Up to the end of quarter three, we registered 403,000 job seekers on the system, and 139,428 have been profiled. And the next one, we needed to register throughout the country a total of 450,000 job seekers to be placed and referred to opportunities. And to date, as at the end of quarter three, we've placed and referred 64,798 job seekers to opportunities. Chair, this progress to date, this performance is very low. We know the various factors that affect our placement rate, the mismatch of skills, but we do refer people to the Department of Higher Education and Training and the CETAS for learnerships and other skills training opportunities to try and upskill so that we can match them on the system. The next slide just shows the breakdown per province of the total of 450,000 job seekers as a target, and the actual job seekers profiled. And the next slide shows then the referral and placement rates, which, as I said, have been low due to the obvious fact, and also that the job market now
the job market now is not absorbing okay.
Very romantic.
I can't hear you. Okay. Yeah. I'm reading from my notes. I can't see. All right. Thank you, Chair. Just to move on to key performance indicator number four, the number of applications from companies in distress sectors processed. We had targeted 30 applications, and mainly here we are reactive as a department, because when a company is in distress, the company and the unions must sit and agree that the company is in distress, and they have to agree that they must now apply for assistance from the training layoff scheme. So the target is low, but to date we have we've received 14 applications, and they were processed within 14 days. This then talks to the number of workers and companies in distress sectors provided with assistance. We had targeted 9,000 workers. To date, as at the end of the third quarter, the actual progress is 1,344. But we will know that the agreement for this training layoff scheme was reached in 2009, and we started processing applications in 2010, and to date, 9,119 people have been assisted. It will also come later in the presentation. It's not only the training layoff scheme, it's also the socially responsible investments through the UIF and the compensation fund, with investments into the DTI. In terms of KPI number six, increased sales of goods from service products. These are the sheltered employment factories. We needed a target of increasing sales to about 30%, and getting government departments to procure 30%. Of their orders from our factories. To date, sales have increased by 15.43%, which amounts to 12.6 million rand. And the increase year on year, although the year hasn't ended, but year on year compared to the quarters is 22%. The DG has already alluded to the fact that there is a turnaround strategy in place. There are developments there in terms of the basic education department of basic education, with the procurement of desks, which will be manufactured by us. Those are just things that are in the pipeline that will assist the turnaround of our factories. Next one is the number of people from designated groups, being youth, women, and people with disabilities, and those are the targets, 100,000, 50,000, and 1,000, and on the right, the progress. As you can see, this progress talks to the reason that I had alluded earlier. For a target of 100,000 youth, we've only placed 19,000, and 11,000 for women, and 522. The reasons are the same as have given before. Number of people with disabilities and ex-combatants and compensation fund beneficiaries assisted with skills for the employment in the SCF. We had targeted 600 learners. To date, we have not taken any people for training into the SCF, mainly due to the financial constraints that the sheltered employment factories are facing, that they could not take additional people for training. The next three slides, then, Chair, talk to the provincial breakdowns of the number of youth, that 100,000, and the actual placement and referral to opportunities and income generating opportunities. The next one is the women, the target of 50,000, breakdown per province, and the actual performance. And slide 14, then the people with disabilities, so the 1,000 target and the 527. Those are just the provincial breakdown, so that we can have a feel of the spread throughout the country. Next slide 15, number of SMME managers assisted to manage matters related to intellectual property. We had targeted 3,000. To date, it's 2,074 managers trained. This is mainly driven through our Productivity SA. They train SMME managers on issues of governance, how to increase productivity, turnaround strategies in their businesses. Because, as we know, if we do assist SMMEs to survive, that is the key sector that is labor, that is generating jobs. Number of jobs saved, target was 20,000, 4,816 jobs saved so far. And the percentage of total mandated socially responsible investment, as I was saying previously, that there will be a breakdown on our investments into the ITC, and mainly our money is used in infrastructure development. What we agreed on last year as the department was that we must get the figures that actually we've invested and how many jobs were created from our money into this infrastructure project. So we are working on that chain. Number of companies for workers assisted through the training layoff, in as I said earlier, 9,119 workers in 46 companies were assisted through the training layoff scheme. Slide 16, also just to state the amount of the UIF investment on the first part, KPI number 11. And number 12 speaks to the legal status and the business case of SAF, as I said earlier, and the DG has spoken about the turnaround strategy in the SAF, the business case that Treasury will be finalizing with the SAF. Number of companies assisted to facilitate constructive dialogue between social partners and managers. We were targeting 120 companies. To date, we've exceeded that target. We've done 129 companies. Chair, in terms of strategic objective two, promote equity in the labor market, our target was to amend the Employment Equity Act and have it promulgated. We know our government proposals, as I said earlier, Mr. Mukalipi gave a comprehensive response last year. All the things have been discussed now, and they have been submitted to NEDLAC and to our social partners. In terms of inspections and enforcement, inspect 10,000 places, and that 10,000 is broken down into 60 JSE companies, 140 designated employers, and 9,800 procedural inspections, and the progress to date there is 40 out of the 60 have been done to date, and 124 of the 140 and 11,000 companies were inspected procedurally. You can see, Chair, that already there we've exceeded our target. As the DG was saying, this is just compliance, no substantive work, and with the refocusing of IES, we will be focusing then on substantive compliance, not only procedural. The percentage of compliance there is 72%. The next KPI, the HIV and AIDS code and technical assistance guidelines amended. 15 roadshows have been held. The task team involved the ILO. The task team met on the 15th and 16th of November, and all comments received were considered. Income differentials assessed in terms of race, gender, and disparities in salaries. Chair, you will remember that towards the end of last year, the Employment Equity Commission released a full report on income differentials, race, gender disparities in salaries of JSE-listed companies, and the predominance of white males in top management positions. So information has been gathered on 15 companies on income differentials, and follow-ups have been done. In terms of strategic objective 3, protecting vulnerable workers, amending the BCEA, Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the negotiations on theme 4, dealing with compliance and enforcement, have been concluded. We know where the process is now in MEDLAC. Reviewing sectoral determinations in the taxi industry, contract cleaning, domestic and farm and forestry industries. Research is currently in progress in terms of the taxi industry, but in terms of the contract cleaning and domestic worker amendments, they have been done and they've been published in the government gazette. In terms of the farming and forestry industries, the amendments are in progress for approval. Civil society institutions strengthened. We've given tranches now, second tranches by the end of December to Ditsela, the Workers' College in Natal, the SA Labour Bulletin, and Stelukanya Home Based Care in the KwaZulu-Natal province. In terms of inspections, for IES, this is the global inspections for the year. 59,601 routine inspections were conducted, with a 74 compliance level achieved. The 74, Chair, you will see that it ties in with the previous 74 that I spoke about. In terms of settling complaints within 14 days, and 910,000 labor-related complaints were received, and 79,000 were settled within 14 days. And the next few slides then give us a breakdown of the 130, the target, how it was spread throughout the country, and the actual performance in terms of slide for that, the breakdown and how many have complied, and the last column on slide 19 shows us the compliance levels. That's just slide 20, also the provincial breakdown, and slide 21, that 98,910, the breakdown per province, and how many disputes were settled, and the settlement rate, and the minus recovered, mainly for wage violations that we've collected and either paid by the company directly to to the workers. In terms of that target of JSE listed companies, the 60, and the designated employers, the 140, there is the performance there where we see the level of compliance, the recommendations made, and after 60 days, after we've gone back to the companies, we see where there was a zero compliance rate. After 60 days, if the company has resolved the issues that we had raised with them in terms of the notices that we've left there, you'll see that the last two columns will either change or not change. If they've done something, the compliance will show, compliance percentage will show. If they haven't done anything, it is zero, meaning the company actually did not comply. Chair, in terms of strategic objective 5, strengthening social protection, to conduct inspections in identified industries exposing workers to silica dust, which causes silicosis. 200 workplaces were inspected. The target, sorry, was to inspect 200 workplaces. So far, we've done 96 inspections, all in the Gauteng province. Repealing the OHS bill, the target being to develop a bill and act it into law. The relevant consultations are in place with the relevant departments, and we are targeting to submit this bill to cabinet by August 2012. Reduce the number of incidents in the following high-risk sectors: iron and steel, in terms of noise-induced hearing loss, construction, chemical, agriculture, and forestry. Here we need to establish a baseline. Before we can start talking of reducing, we must have a baseline from which to work. And the National Roving Team has conducted 273 audits and 61 follow-up leases, and seminars have also been held. The next slide 24, just shows us the inspections per province and the sectors, the high-risk sectors that we've targeted, and the compliance level. From this, we'll have a baseline, and then we will work on reducing the incidents. In terms of slide 26, promoting sound labor relations, our first KPI there is to extend collective agreements within 90 days. So far, we've received and published 7 collective agreements, and the breakdown there is 2 were for renewal and 5 were extension. Decision to register a new labor organization taken within 90 days. We've dealt with 45 applications to date. For the registration of labor organizations, and the 45 is broken down into 5. We've approved 4 for trade unions and 1 employer organization. We rejected 37, and 3 applications were cancelled. In terms of outcome 12, and which is our strategic objective 8, is strengthening the institutional capacity of the department. This is more inward looking. Our first indicator there is to deal with the vacancy rate. Currently, as at the end of December, the vacancy rate was at 7.17%, but we are working on reducing the vacancy rate further. As soon as posts are advertised, we start with the boards, we shortlist, and we interview. So we are working fervently on trying to reduce this. percentage of women, youth, and people with disability employed in line with the employment equity plan. There are the stats there as at the end of December. In management SMS levels, we've got 37.5% representation of women, 39.8% youth, and 2.6% people with disabilities. And in terms of customer complaints, 90% resolution rate within 14 days. The actual percentage is 5.334 calls received as at the end of December. And we are sitting at the 97% resolution rate. In terms of the number of calls and the size of the department, we are number two in the country. The first one is Home Affairs, and this is independently verified by the presidency. We get this report from the presidency. So we are proud to say we are number two. We will strive to be number one. Check. Number of service delivery points accessible in line with geographic norms and standards. This is our accessibility strategy. We're working on it. We are piloting with the DPSA. We are piloting Gauteng and Echegwini currently. But internally also, there's work done on the footprint. Where are our labor centers? Where do our mobile labor centers go? Where are our satellite offices? We want to determine where optimally we can place our labor centers, taking into account obviously the constraints of the current leases that we've got, because we cannot just get out of the leases. And the last one point, the last point, Chair, percentage of compliance to service delivery norms and standards. The service delivery improvement plan was submitted to the DPSA by 30th of November. That is the target date for all the departments, and here we achieved it was in. We haven't received any comments from the DPSA. Chair, at this point, I would like them to hand over to Mr. Mutiba to finish off the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. We, as the DG had indicated earlier on, we have mapped out from slide 30 what are the key aspects of our strategic plan for the 2012 financial year. In essence, they start talking to how we align our work to the broader government objectives and service delivery outcomes. As we indicated, we looked at outcome 4 and then gave a reflection of what are the indicators relevant for that particular outcome. So we looked at the objectives as well as the key performance indicators per objective. That runs from slide 30, 31, just to give you a broad idea of the key things that we'll be focusing on in 2012. On strategic objective 1, the key issues are more about employment creation and how do we contribute to that. We will be looking at aspects of registering job seekers, assessing them and profiling them into different categories. What this means is it is important that as a country we begin to know this 6.5 or so million people who are unemployed, who are they in terms of their level of development, so that our interventions are pointed. We should be able to assist them appropriately. We still persist on the issue of ensuring that we get
jobs for job seekers. That is whereby we will approach companies so that they register jobs on the system, and then we match the job seekers so that we place them into those opportunities. We also, in terms of that strategic objective, are looking at people from designated groups, whereby we place them in training and income-generating opportunities. On number two, that is strategic objective number two, we will still persist in terms of the Employment Equity Act to ensure that the Act is amended, that the amendments are promulgated as well as the regulations, and evaluate the substantive progress of the implementation of the Act. On Strategic Objective 3, which talks to protecting vulnerable workers, we will still continue to ensure that the percentage of workplaces inspected and audited is increased, but this time we'll be targeting certain sectors. The sectors that we'll be targeting that are focused on vulnerable workers are private security, agriculture, forestry, hospitality, and domestic workers. So for the larger part of the year, more especially on the protection of vulnerable workers, those are the sectors that we say we will deploy our inspectors into so that we get maximum return in terms of compliance. On strategic objective 5, the focus will be on reducing noise-induced hearing loss in the iron and steel industry. On strategic objective 6 of promoting sound labor relations, the focus will be on collective agreements extended and labor organizations applications and cancellations dealt with accordingly within 90 days of receipt of request. With regard to outcome 11, where the focus will be on strategic objective 4 in terms of strengthening multilateral and bilateral relations, and here it's more about advocating South Africa's position both at in the across the world as well as in the continent. On strategic objective 8, monitoring the impact of legislation, the focus will be on a fully functional performance management system implemented to comply 100% with the prescript. So we want to ensure that at least we're able to collect and verify our data regarding the labor market so that for purposes of reporting, we will be reporting on quality information, but also for planning moving forward, then we are able to know what our landscape looks like and what interventions are we going to focus on. And the last one, on strengthening the institutional capacity of the department, the focus is more about improving the service quality and access. Here we are saying when people enter labor centers, how much time do they take to get a service? Just that waiting time. Beyond it is a turnaround. How long does it take us to give them the service? It's not enough to have people running through the system, but they wait for so many days before they can be able to get a service. And then also to look at the distances that the citizens travel between their places and the labor centers, so that we reduce that cost of travel to our service points, and then also the focus on customer complaints so that we speedily resolve customer complaints within at least a specified time, 14 days, we believe that will be sufficient enough. Now, having looked at all this chairperson and committee members, from the presentation that the COO has given you and having looked at our landscape, our labor center landscape, we have an understanding that our key challenge in terms of the challenges in the media action, our key challenges center more on strategic objective 1, that of contributing to employment creation. First is that we don't have a legislation to regulate That is why we're saying there's a policy and regulatory gap. And we all know that the COO has already indicated there are discussions at NEDLAG to try and resolve that issue. Secondly, that we have inadequate and human and IT resources, more especially to ensure that we register and profile job seekers. Some workers, once they have made an appointment for assessment, they do not turn up. We understand the sometimes the economic conditions that people face, but you find that because maybe they are unemployed, they are unable to return for further service. But we are working very hard on that area to ensure that we support them appropriately. Currently, there's an innovation around our mobile units, so that we can be able to go to where the citizens are instead of them every time having to come to the labor center. And we have also found out that the education and skills levels of the people who are seeking employment do not match the opportunities that are availed. To that extent, we're not able to respond appropriately to the opportunities that employers have registered on the system. And then also that with regard to the social plan, some of the projects started later than expected due to delays in finalizing agreements. So as I indicated, the critical portion of our challenges lie on that strategic objective. The rest, there's sufficient progress made with regard to the work that we do. However, I need to emphasize in respect of strategic objective 3 of protecting vulnerable workers, you will notice in the presentation that we set ourselves about 130,000 inspections, a target of 130. We are not meeting that target precisely because we have challenges around the capability of our inspectors, more especially to enforce the legislation. So we have identified that as a challenge, and we are working on the review of the inspection and enforcement strategy to ensure that we capacitate our inspectors to do their work. On the strategic objective relating to strengthening social protection, that has more to do with occupational health and safety, reducing the incidence in the labor market, health and safety incidents. We are having a challenge there, and also it relates to the competency of our labor inspectors to carry that. But the second thing is that we don't have a benchmark. If we say we want to reduce the incidents by 2%, we're still working on establishing a benchmark so that we can be able to precisely say it was at this level in the previous year, and it has reduced to this level in the year that we have been involved. So there's a process to finalize the benchmark. On the strengthening multilateral and bilateral relations, just to make a correction under the reasons for major variances, it's external circumstances resulting in lack of commitment from other government departments, not from other countries. Here it's more about, as we say, we advocate South Africa's position both in the continent as well as across the globe. So to that extent, we have to consolidate issues relating to the labor market. There are always delays in terms of providing us inputs from other government departments. And on the last one of the strengthening the institutional capacity of the department, the key challenge here is more about access to our services, both in terms of providing quality services as well as our labor centers accessible to the citizens. And that relates more to our infrastructure. As the COO has indicated, we are now working with other government departments to ensure that we map our landscape, we know where our labor centers should be, so that at the right moment, when resources permit, we're able to relocate them closer to where citizens are. That will be the end of my presentation, and thank you.
Thank you very much. But I think we must change now, because so I think the Department of Labor must propose to the Department of Culture, né, to change the proverbs. For women can do it. On that note.
Are you suggesting that I'm that beautiful, really? Thanks. No, indeed, I am beautiful. My mother, Malgazana, used to tell me this thing. That I'm a beautiful boy. The last slide, just three brief points in terms of what we expect from the select committee. The one is that in an upcoming budget vote, the minister's budget vote, that will be, I think we're having it in May, I should think. We would want to canvass for support for that budget vote. So that's one area of expectation from our side. The second area is, of course, that I think we probably would need to note and realize this thing, this development in terms of the bills. There is going to be some mounting pressure that is that would be coming up, not only to the department, but also in terms of the parliamentary program here. Also in that regard, would as a department expect some degree of support from the select committee. There is this work that, in the process of refining and redefining our work and trying to reposition it, that eventually we'll end up having got to work and be in partnerships with various departments and so forth. Also there, we would solicit support from the side of the select committee insofar as that work is concerned, interdepartmental and kind of partnership kind of work in facilitating our work, particularly in the field of, we seem to think that in the field of public employment services, for instance, that's where most of our partnerships will emerge as part of the job creation effort. So that's a change so far as our expectation from our side to the side of the select committee. Thank you very much, Chair. We have an outstanding presentation, which is more to do with the finances on the side of the CFO. I think they would be directed by the Chair whether, you know, that's what we do immediately after this. So, thanks, Chair.
And the CFO is going to read through the presentation and bring us.
Thank you, Chair. And
so that when you ask more for more, or you ask for support, then you know what you want.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. The first slide, I think, deals with the allocation, the budget vote allocation for the department that was meant to achieve the strat plan. I have put two comparatives The first one being the original budget as published in the estimate of national expenditure, and the second column being the adjusted estimate of national expenditure in September after taking into account the few adjustments that I will talk about in detail in the next slide. Originally, our budget was 1.98 billion, given to the programs as follows: administration 697.2 million, inspection and enforcement services 386.7 million, public employment services 296.1 million, labor policy and industrial relations 601.3 million. That was further adjusted in September to administration 698.4 million, inspection and enforcement services 389.2 million, public employment services 324.8 million, labor policy and industrial relations 604.8 million. That took us to just above 2 billion in terms of our budget. The table below, I think that's why we've put the same amount in terms of economic classification. I'm not going to go into it. It's just the same figures but put differently. But just to dwell on the movement from the original budget of 1.9 billion to just about 2 billion. This was as a result of the rollover that we applied for of 2.9 million for the program 4, and also the salary adjustments of 6.4 million as a result of the settlement in terms of the labor processes of above than budgeted for increment, salary increment. Also, we had a the unforeseen and unavoidable situation wherein we had a shortfall on the compensation of employees, injury on duty, where we had to go with unavoidable expense in terms of the injury on duty for the public servants. We had to go with the CAP memo of the 26.5 million. This was just a once-off amount wherein the invoices are piled up for the invoice for the injury on duty, and this amount was paid directly to the compensation fund for their claims that they have put into the department. This also explains when you look into the next slide, from for the year 2013, our increase is 2.119 vis-à-vis 2.117. The increase is not just 6%. As you'd note that I think our increase from as projected in the medium-term expenditure framework is just around about 6%. But when you look at the 2 years, 2011-12 and 2012-13, the increase won't be 6% because of this once-off expenditure of unforeseen and unavoidable. After that, I think it subsided to just about 5 million, that line item. I think the next slide talks to our medium-term and expenditure framework allocations for the next coming 3 years, which project an increase of 6.1% of average of 6.1%, and the next slide talk to the the pie chart on the allocation on the allocation, with the administration getting a bigger slice of the pie, followed by the other three programs of the department. That's the summary of the finances in terms of the
financial year 2011-2012.
Thank you very much. Also, to do when we leave here, you must explain to the DG what I meant earlier. Yeah, I don't want to. So members, we've been listening to the comprehensive presentation of the strategic planning of the Department of Labor. Honorable Sibande, Honorable Groenewald, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Mlenza, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Baba Mhlebe, siyabonga kakhulu about this presentation. But I wanted to comment something. You see, ma, with the proposal of increment, I think we must support it. But with this condition, I hope we don't have a rollover. Because sometimes it's very disturbing when you propose and then this is about rollovers, in which money, where you find sometimes money is not being utilized. I hope I go. And then come to the question. You see, Bamtego, I'm from the rural, I'm a rural boy. I'm from the farm. May you please maybe tell us what programs do you have in order to educate people about labor issues, including about the job fund grants, beneficiaries, etc. In particular, in a rural area. And then that question, Mama, we bind on it. What is your relationship with the house of traditional leaders? Because, you know, sometimes our institutions, they don't take them on board. Why they are there in the constitution of South Africa? And then I'll go to slide 82, where you spoke about vulnerable workers. There's a thing which is concerning me. You see, on slide 82, about the issue of the last, nearly the last presenter before the one of finance, you spoke about some protection of vulnerable labor as an organizational capabilities, competences. I never, ever hear the Department of Labor speaking about how to protect seasonal workers, and also about the taxi industry, except the research you are doing, and also about fishing industry. There are serious problems in the fishing industry. And then, there is one which I wanted to check again about in slide 18. Slide 18, let me open slide 18 first. In slide 18, in the review, existing sectoral determination, you spoke about taxes, whatever. You see, you are having recently a research currently in progress in case of taxes. I think this is not a new thing, but simple, by when Nizo compromise was to complete this process of doing that research? Because this is also a vulnerable section whereby it ends up contributing to taxi violence. And then the other one is slide number 26. In slide number 26, please, Baba, may you please empower us as well. That may you please elaborate on a criteria you are using to select the approvals, because you said there are five approved for four trade unions and one employers organization, 37 rejected and three cancelled. I'm a little bit concerned with this thing because my little experience won't mention names. There are people who come up as NGOs, but at the end they came to be unions. Some of them, they are being used as instrumental of imperialism. They don't represent the needs of the people. So that maybe something can be done in order to stop those nonsense. That's why I'm asking what criteria is being used. And then, you see, another last one. I would be happy if maybe in your budget to get the slides from the trillion which was raised by the president. Yes, it's correct to support you as well. but I'll be very much grateful if you can increase in terms of the enforcement of inspectorate, because the problems which are happening in most of the labor centers, I mean not in the labor floors, is that we are limping or we are lacking of enforcement. That's why things are happening. I'll pose it there at this moment.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I've got questions and for clarity and so let's see. Firstly, I want to know, you mentioned about that we are going to create jobs for a better South Africa. I want to know, and a safer South Africa. So I want to know, what do you exactly mean by that? For a safer South Africa, a better South Africa makes sense, but a safer South Africa, to create jobs for a safer, maybe you can just elaborate about that. And then about the shelter employment factories, I want to know how many of these factories are in South Africa. I think we asked the question at our strat plan as well. And then I also want to know, in each province, how many do we have in each province in South Africa, and where are they in the provinces? Then you mentioned that 403,482 people are registered for who's looking for jobs, and then 139 are profiled. Now, these are people who's profiled. What do you mean by if they are profiled? Do they have, or do you put them in a certain kind of job, and what from there? If we know they are profiled, what happened from there then? You also mentioned that 64,798 placed into opportunities. And if you looked how many are registered, and you mentioned it by yourself that it's very low at this stage. And if you are looking into what the president asked and said about creating of jobs to up to 2020, we talk about 5 million jobs in South Africa, new jobs. And if you're talking about new jobs, it must be sustainable jobs. It must be not jobs for a month or two or three. So if you can, you must tell us, what are we going to do? How are the department going to reach these targets in 2014 and up to 2020? And then what bothered me, and I think for the whole committee chairperson, is that we mentioned it a lot of times already, and that is our rural areas. I'm very, very worried about our rural areas. What opportunities do these people have in our rural areas, and what kind of development are taking place and investment in our rural areas? I know there's a lot of people they getting into our urban areas, and that creates a lot of other problems, as we see in our bigger cities. It is housing and all that kind of things is coming with it. So if we can keep our people in our rural areas, I think we are going to get a lot less problems in our urban areas. So I don't know, and I know that is not a department's job to create jobs for people. You are there to place people in certain places and see if they can get jobs, but it is in front of your door as well. So you must do something about it, and we must get resolutions about these things. Job safe, that is another thing. You save jobs. You said you mentioned a number of 4,816 jobs being saved. But if a business is going bankrupt or they can't get on anymore, what are you doing to save jobs in these circumstances? And where do you get the money from to save jobs or to save, actually that is to save factories or businesses? And then therefore you need money to help these people to carry on with the businesses. What is the department's involvement? And that is also another thing. And I think you The department mentioned it very earlier, two or three meetings ago, about Messina. That the people there claimed Messina not as a part of South Africa. And that worried me a lot, because labor is playing a big, big role there. That is our foreigners is coming in. That is the doorway to South Africa. And now the people are starting living there and everything, and now they said it's not part of South Africa. So that is also in front of labor's door. We must see it. We must also get a resolution of it. Then, Jay, I'm really finished. Yeah. And I think that is a very important one. I want to know, regarding the labor centers in South Africa, who is renting these buildings? Is it the department by itself, or is it public works? If it is public works, I've got a problem, because the houses are not in order, and I can't see that they must help you with such a thing. That's it's spelling out a lot of trouble for me. And then I think at the end of the day, if we are going to spend the money wisely, we will support the budget. Thank you very much.
Chair, you know, that's why I always sit next to Mr. Brunner to call him to order. I won't do it today, but next time,
Thank you very much.
I always call you to order. Chair, what I'd like to talk about, there's outcome 12. You say efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. I just want to check on this, on the public service. Because there is no but to be in the public service. The morale of public servants is so low. And also, there's a lot of fraud, complaints, and so on. So what is your role? How do you have mechanism to uplift the spirit of public servants? And how do you monitor other departments? Because I think that's important. There are a lot of complaints about the public servants. On the issue of vulnerable workers, especially domestic workers, do we have inspectors for domestic workers, or your inspectors just cut across? Because I think last year when we were in Geneva, a resolution was passed that there must be domestic inspectors. So I don't know how far have you gone with that. This issue of job seekers that are registered with you, there is this issue of mismatch, and then in your presentation you say you send them for reskilling to a Department of Education to sit and so on. Do you get feedback after that? To say we have sent these people, now they come back with these skills, and what has been the progress again on that? Yeah, the other one is, you say you are contributing to employment creation. Seemingly, you don't want to create jobs in your department. You are just supporting others to create jobs. Can you give us your own, not to say we are supporting other people? Because I think the issue of job creation, it affects every department. Yeah, expectation from the select committee. I thought maybe you'd say also, we are also expecting our oversight reports. Because we normally go for oversight, you should be expecting that we should give you the what we have discovered in this oversight, and how do you respond to that? I think that's another issue that you should be expecting from us. That's it.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, sometimes good Chairperson to be the second, because you have an opportunity of listening. And also appreciating one of the respondents said he is a rural boy. And here comes another, a better spokesperson for us, the rural people. Maybe we have to open a debate as to what is it that is rural. Is it a farm plus with that small house covered or surrounded by many sheep and cattle, and to say that's a rural area, or you're talking Lugangeni in the deep areas of Mount Frey, where you are drinking running water, stream water, sharing that water with sheep, goats, ducks, and all, where you have to wake up very early in the morning to get fresh water. I don't know, I'm not sure.
I'm making this comment because of the tendency
of our movement generally, where we live rural areas towards the urban areas. I'm raising this chapter in terms of from a labor context as to what is it perhaps that the Department of Labor, DG, can do. Because with your respect, we have to, if we are careful drivers, look at the rearview mirror. If you look back, our rural areas were impoverished by a way of an apartheid design system of making sure that cheap labor is drawn from rural areas to the big towns. Hence now you have this impoverished rural area. And now how then do we reverse that? Fortunately now we have good spokespeople like our Honorable Runevald, who seem to be ready to assist.
That was just a comment. On page 32 or slide 32, whichever, I had drafted a question, but it was responded to because I asked on the relevant human resource and the tools of trade in terms of capacity for the registration for filing of the job seeker. But then there it is indicated that there is a corrective action in place. But now my worry, DJ, would be when? I'm raising this because if you look at, I'm going back to the labor exploitation, that we have got the responsibility to fight, all of us. We were fighting with which state-owned company, I'm not sure, where they were proudly saying to us, DG, to Eskom. Yes, it was Eskom. They were proudly
saying to us, they are recruiting from outside the country. And for whatever reason. Hence then, you would find in Matupi and other areas, those labor unrest. And now we were saying to them, but we have got the Department of Labor, which is responsible to provide you with a database of job seekers. So I'm saying, if now the Department of Labor is not moving from the market, you are now making ourselves, you know, weak in terms of beginning to provide you as the department as the ultimate, because whether we like it or not, whether we subscribe to socialism or not, it is neither here nor there. But going forward, DG, we are looking at a situation where this department, the Department of Labor, would make it easy for South Africans to get access to jobs. Then, also on inspections, this one is it's more generic, but let me pick just one aspect on occupational health and safety. If you look, DG, at the quality of your inspectors, particularly on occupational health and safety, you would notice that there's a lot of investment that you have done as a department. I'm saying this from a greater understanding. I've worked with your department for many years before I came to Cape Town. And what you would notice normally would be that if your inspectors go visit these areas, particularly on this one, they pick up these weaknesses. The next day, they are recruited by the very same company. That okay? You can do it better for us. Come. And the first question they are asked is, how are you paid? How are your perks from the Department of Labor? And the answer would be, not much. So, in terms of the parity between the amount of work and skill that this incumbent is doing vis-a-vis the income, you may not answer this today, DG. I'm throwing this to you as your homework. Look at your turnover, particularly around that aspect. And I know that there will be few schools or institutions which offer this kind of training that you do internally as a department. My colleagues have asked the other question, but with me I was more generic, because I was asking here whether you have a guarantee that your colleagues, that is your sister department and municipality, do adhere to good labor practices. I was more generic. I thought, Chairperson, though I know it's debated, it was out of order, but it was in the media, out of order as it was, that I heard of a municipality which was sued for sexual harassment at the workplace. I'm just highlighting that as an example. I'm not saying it's an issue, Chair, but it's just a by the way. Thanks, Chair President.
Thank you very much. Maybe on the shelter employment factory CG, you have indicated that you will concentrate more on the sheltered employment sector this year. Maybe if you can tell us what you will do practically
different, what will be different to what you have been doing. And you know, I think we've got this factories in, we've got 12 factories in South Africa operating in 7 provinces. When are we going to go to these other 2 provinces that doesn't have sheltered factories? I think we've got 2 of them. And then the other one is the program or measures that the department will embark on to deal specifically, or let me say particularly, with youth unemployment. The other one is you say you have inadequate human and IT resources to register job seekers. Also, I looked on your presentation. What are you going to do about this practically? I'll come, we'll come back with members on the second round. CG and your team?
And
no, thanks. Thank you very much. Our team from the Public Employment Services will respond to some of the questions. Inspection and Employment Services will also respond to some of the questions. Labour Market, Labour Policy and Industrial Relations will also do the same insofar as one, I think 2 questions that also are those out of this. But let me just I've made 2 fundamental mistakes this morning. I'm now calling USA. That's my second mistake. So I apologize, Chair. I think the CFO will also respond to the question of the rollovers. Some of the questions that honourable members have raised in themselves are beyond just the mandate of the Department of Labour. Let me just make an example. You know, the question of job creation, for instance, is a broader economic question. And our role there is facilitation. But one form of facilitation is people walking in,
yeah,
capturing them and matching them. But also, where you have a mismatch, that also becomes an economic question. That's how your socio-economic circumstance is actually characterized in South Africa. You have more unskilled, you have quite a huge pool of unskilled people whom were still struggling to move from that base to at least the level of semi-skilled and skilled. So that 2 wide sort of gaps there. And that in itself is what would get reflected, for instance, on our system. So I think we should take note of that point. Now, the question of if people are productively engaged, they have a reason to exist, they have what they call the self-worth and so forth. That translates directly to stability of the country. So if the government outcome talks to a safer, a better and a safer South Africa, you know, there are physical aspects of safety, but there are aspects also that of safety that are quite indirect, in other words, are derived. So if you have young people employed and creative and so forth, it means you have a relatively stabler country, stabler communities, and stabler economic environment and so forth, and therefore prospects of growth and further development are pretty high. I think think the question about how many factories we have got, I think that has been answered. 12 factories in Mpumalanga and Northwest are the only provinces where we actually don't have these factories. Now, but...
I was aware only of Limpopo, my neighbor.
Oh, I see. Clarksdorp. Clarksdorp is in Northwest. Okay, okay. No, no, no. I withdraw. I made a mistake there, so I think you're right. Now, but the related to this question is the question that the chair posed. When are we likely to see the expansion? Our take is that before you deal with the question of expansion or potential expansion, let's work with what we have now. We have to make sheltered employment factories functional, sustainable. In other words, they must be able to sustain themselves. You know, financially and otherwise, but at the same time, I mean, earlier on I spoke to the issue of the inward looking kind of approach. The inward looking kind of approach is that self as an establishment must be sustainable. It must be able to sustain itself, even if it's not profitable. But you know, it must be able to feed itself in moving forward and so forth. There's some of the bad things that I say to the CFO about certain things, but we're not going to share that with the with the select committee in terms of some of the things that I say about SEF and regarding our finances and stuff. But the other part is that SEF produces products, and these products, they have got to be adequately marketed out within state departments and outside, and so on. And it's good quality products that we manufacture in these particular factories. And of course, the starting point for us is the fact that now we're working with the Department of Basic Education on the production of school desks, for an example. But we think that such kind of cooperation can actually be extended to also other state departments and so on. The question, I think, the question of rural areas, I will want to combine that point perhaps with some few elements. There is this work that is being done that we have commissioned the Human Sciences Research Council. HSRC. Yeah, I am getting it right now. Yesterday I was missing this thing up. Human Sciences Research Council. Now, and it has to look at the issue of the accessibility of our labor centers. Now, accessibility will also include the issue of location. The driving principle there would be that labor centers are to be used by the majority of the would-be beneficiaries. In other words, people that would use our labor centers on a regular basis, and therefore location must make sense from that perspective. But there's the issue of rural workers, so farm workers and other sectors that are out there. And indeed, that's quite a serious matter. In 2 weeks ago, in the management meeting, we're actually beginning to have a discussion on the question of Mr. Gettler's, is it called workers' cooperative strategy? I think that was cooperative support strategy, something to that effect. So we've begun a discussion around that. And you remember, Chair and Honourable Members, that at some point before legalization, before the Wuhan Commission in 1979 in this country, before the legalization and recognition of black trade unions, for example, many of the unions that you find today are in offspring. Is that correct? Offshoot. Okay. The English person sitting next to me says offshoot, not offshoot. It's an offshoot of the an offshoot of those advice centers. Now, and we're not saying this is, because we haven't taken the position around this question, but we're beginning to entertain a so we're beginning, as part of the discussion amongst ourselves, we're beginning to entertain this question. You know, shouldn't we really look at the question of the setting up of these kinds of advice centers? Because through the advice centers, you could possibly be able to deal with the issue of educating people about their rights and whatever they are, that level. But there is a role that needs to be played, Chair, by other formations. You know, be it NGOs, be it trade unions, and so forth, so that this work of educating people about their rights is not seen as exclusively a government and, you know, Department of Labor kind of work. It's everyone's duty to actually go out there and be able to educate people in rural areas about their rights, particularly pertaining to labor rights and so forth. The question of increasing enforcement, I think we reflected on this one during the strategic plan. I'm not sure whether we made this example. In Bambikstad, just around Bambikstad, Bambikstad, Northern Cape, yes, that's Honorable Kronenbaum's neighbor there. You have 1,036 farms just around that area. Now, that means quite a serious and a direct challenge to the resource base of the Department of Labor in terms of just inspection. In Staterheim, in the Eastern Cape, 600-odd number there of farms just around that area. I'm not talking about the entire province and so forth. Now, that's a pressure point to the resource base of the department insofar as issues of inspection and enforcement. Now, and what I think we cannot be in a position to do, Chair, is to stand here and say, no, we'll cover each and every farm from an inspection and enforcement point of view, or we'll cover every workplace, yes. It's not humanly possible. So in other words, you know, inspection and enforcement, yes, there is the physical part of it, but there is also the educational part of it that we may need to consider as part of the expansion and extending our work and service there at that level. Now, I am Chair, I think I should not comment about as to who's running labor centers. I should not. I think it's safer that way. The last point I want to deal with, it's around the question of the morale of public servants. Again, that falls outside our ambit and mandate as the Department of Labor. But and of course, in other words, we're unable to give a scientific reflection on the question of what is the state of morale of the public services we speak today, or public servants generally, as we speak today. One of the projects, insofar as the Department of Labor is concerned, that we're looking into is the whole question of your organizational review. Because your organizational review will deal with the question of how structured are we, but also issues that affect the morale of our own workforce. In the pools of trade will be probably one of those considerations as well, amongst other things. The overall work environment. For instance, I always make an example to it, you know, silly examples that I make, but for instance, don't go into a prison and expect to find a priest. Or go into a pub and expect to place an order for coffee or tea. I mean, those are two opposites. In other words, if your working environment is not conducive to productivity, indeed, the likelihood is that you should not be surprised that you will then experience issues of low morale and otherwise from that. So these are some of the issues that we acknowledge that they are there, and we need to work on them. And amongst other things, as I was zooming into this question of an organizational review exercise, retention again is another broader question. It's one of those things that happen out there. We invest in human resources. You train people. You develop people. You have got to remunerate and sustain them in a particular way, and so on. But other forces would come around and identify the skill that we have amongst your own people and instill them. So it's gonna be an ongoing challenge and problem of sorts for the department as to how you have to retain people, how do you grow people, how do you do all sorts of manner of positive things and aspects that have got to contribute towards the retention. So I would ask in no order of priority, perhaps I think I like public employment services. So Ms. Rituani can then come in and deal with some of the specific questions relating to public employment services.
Thank you, DG. There was a question regarding the relationship of the Department of Labor with the House of Traditional Leaders or House of Traditional Affairs.
And also the word Nyalo.
Okay. The Department of Labor has got a stakeholder engagement at the local level and at the regional level, where not only the traditional leaders are participating. We have the municipality that will be participating. We'll have government departments that will be participating. We'll have organized business that is participating. In fact, all the relevant stakeholders in that particular area, like I said, at the local and at the regional level and at the provincial level, do participate. And with regard to the issue of the number of job seekers that were registered, assessed, and profiled, we are saying here, for those that we have registered, only 50% we are able to do, we can assess and profile. And there was a question also regarding what do you mean by profiling. I think that the Mutiba tried to explain to say, when you say you profile the people that you have on your database, you need to get an indication as to who are we dealing with, what are the skills of this particular person, what is the experience of this particular person, what is the age of this particular person, so that as and when an employer requires a particular, registering a particular vacancy with those specific requirements, we are able to do the linkages. I think that is what we are trying to say, that we need to know and clean our database and see who is there on our database so that we can make appropriate referrals. So that is what we mean in terms of that. And in terms of assessment, there are batteries that we are also using. We are using the SPICS, which shows the competencies that are available that the people have so that we can make appropriate referrals. And I think DG answered the issue of the registration. okay, what other services is the Department of Labor providing? In public employment services, we are rendering various services. For example, the registration is one of the services that we are doing. That as and when people come at our doorsteps, we need to know, we need to register them so that we can be able to assist them. And there is also career guidance and information that we are providing. We are also mindful that some of the people, they pass their matric or the grade 12, and once they have completed the grade 12, there's nothing else they do. And some of them don't even go up to grade 12, and they just come to the Department of Labor, they look for any other job, not necessarily knowing the impact of the subjects that they've already obtained in matric or have not having matric. So that kind of career information is provided to the people so that we also profile the area so that we know that in a particular province, in a particular area, these are the number of businesses that are available, these are the number of people that are available, people with matric, people with no matric, and what is it that the growing sectors in that particular area, so that we can guide them appropriately, that when you study first, don't study something where you're not going to be able to be absorbed, you're not going to be responding to the labor market. The other service that we are rendering is the recruitment and selection, where people will come in and will do the matching based on the skills that they have, the qualifications that they have, based on the requirement that the employer requires. Then we are able to say to this employer, this person is suitable and this person is not suitable. So those are the main functions that we are doing in the public employment services. And we also render life skills, where we have to prepare people for jobs in terms of interviewing skills, so that people must know that when they go for an interview, what is it that they need to do, how they must behave, and all those things, because that has got an impact in the employer. The manner in which you present yourself is going to determine as to whether or not you're going to do that. So that's what we are trying to do and prepare those people. We also work hand in hand with the private employment agencies. We are aware that in this market, there is no way that public employment services can respond to the needs of the organization. So where we are unable to place the people, then we relate with the private employment agencies to say, from our database, we don't have these suitable people. Can you please check on our database so that we can make appropriate referrals? Similarly, we do the same thing with the NYDA and other municipalities and other people. We also work hand in hand with the institutions of higher learning. Not so long ago, we were at UJ and we were at West, where we were speaking to the HRD department so that we can be able to see that in terms of the programs that they are doing, let us respond to the needs of the labor market. This relates to the foreign labor, where we are saying that before we can recommend that this foreign worker must come into the country, Home Affairs the application will be solicited from, will be obtained from Home Affairs, and Home Affairs that will be referred to say, Department of Labor, check on your database. Do you have the necessary skills before we can approve, before they can recommend the permit or the visa? So luckily we've got a good relationship. The Department of Home Affairs, the Department of DTI, and Department of Labor, we've got a tripartite system. We have roped in our sister department, which is Department of Higher Education and Training, where we work together so that we are able to do that. We have been working together. For example, there was mention of the Medupi project. Yes, we went to Medupi. I think we went to Medupi twice, where we looked at that. The application that was a bit controversial, was not approved by us. So that was an investigation that Medupi was doing. It was something else. What we have approved was for the coded welders. In South Africa, we've got the challenge with the coded welders, and for them to have been able to deal with that project, they needed that. So we know exactly what is it that we have approved and what is it that we are not doing. Why we are working with the Department of Higher Education and Training is that this skills that are not there, that are not available in the country, they should be aware of them so that they can be able to train people so that we have our own people. We are all understanding that this is a short-term intervention for our country, that we can be able to deal with this project. So it's mainly the scarce and critical skills that are being looked at. The issue of Musina, I think, DJ, maybe we can leave that to you to talk about it. I'm coming to your question, the issue of the job saved. Men,
yeah.
We are saying, what is it that we are doing to assist the businesses that are going down? Basically, what happens is that the government has put in place the training layoff scheme. So where, as and when an employer, and as well as the employees are aware that the company is going down, then they contact the government through CCMA, where they are able to prove that indeed their company is going down, where their financial statements will be scrutinized to say that indeed the company is in distress. So if the company indeed is in distress, there will be assistance. So the employer will be relieved from paying the salaries, where UIF was going to be paying the 75%. It has been increased to 50, now 75%, and the NSF through the CITAS will be paying for the training of the workers, so that as and when the company picks up, so the workers can be able to go back to work. How this system works is that for 2 days the workers will be working, and maybe 3 days they will be undergoing training. So that is how the employers are being relieved from the system. When the scheme was introduced at first, this was linked to the economic recession, but because the uptake was low, so we had to change the rules to say any business that is struggling or in distress due to any other reason, not necessarily economic recession only, can be assisted. What we have found is that many employers are applying for the scheme. There's 2.4 billion that has been set aside for the scheme. I think you have seen in the report how far it has been utilized. But this is something that we are working on. And I think the issue of the job seekers, I didn't get the name of the mismatch, where we indicated that we are referring them to the Department of Higher Education for reskilling. The Department of Labor is no longer dealing with skills development since the proclamation, where all the services that have to do with skills development were transferred to the Department of Higher Education. We are forging a partnership with the Department of Higher Education, where we had a meeting with them towards the end of last year, and we are going to have a follow-up meeting specifically regarding to all the cases that we have referred to them so that we can get feedback. This meeting has been pitched at the DDG level. So I think we may be able to come back to you with that kind of a feedback at a later stage.
We can try and speed up because I think there's another meeting that other members
have got. I think I've covered everything under public.
I will deal with the questions around the labour market issues. There was a question raised by Honourable Sibande about what criteria used for approval of trade unions. Now, the requirements for registration of either a trade union or an employer organisation is set out in the Labour Relations Act, Section 95 in particular, and I just want to highlight some of that. The first thing is that the trade union, for example, has to be independent. It cannot be under the direct or indirect control of any employer or employer's organization. There is also the issue of that they must have a constitution, and the constitution must set out quite a number of requirements. Who could be members of the organization, what are the democratic principles within the organization, how are office bearers elected, when are they removed, and so on. And we have to assist trade unions and employer organizations publish guidelines to assist them in determining whether they are genuine or not. Now, where we are not approving constitutions or applications of trade unions is where we believe they are not genuine. And in fact, where they have been registered and we find out afterwards that they are no longer operating as a genuine trade union or employer organization, we deregister them and cancel their registration. And we have a number of challenges to that now to the Registrar of Labour Relations, where those unions whose registration is cancelled or those who are deregistered, they challenge the registrar in the labor court. So we are also defending those, but we do not allow bogus organizations to exist. We have, if you look at our last annual report, deregistered and cancelled the registration of trade unions of over 100 trade unions already that we have deregistered. So the criteria is very clear in the law, and the Registrar for Labor Relations apply that very strictly. The second question was around the issue of the taxi industry and the research that we're doing there. The research that we are doing is to determine the impact of the sectoral determination for the taxi industry on the working conditions of those workers in the taxi industry. There is a taxi sectoral determination that is applied, and of course the inspectorate also do check whether those conditions are being complied with. But the research is about determining the impact of the sectoral determination. There is also, in the context of the Unemployment Insurance Fund, I think it's now over 6,000, 7,000 taxi workers registered with the UIF, and the commissioner there has gone on briefing sessions and road shows with the taxi associations like Santaco to encourage them to register more taxi employers or taxi owners so that those workers can also be covered. So that is being done with regard to the taxi sector. Then the last issue was with regard to the fishing industry. The fishing industry is a problem, particularly here in the West Coast. Now, we have decided that we will undertake an investigation of the entire fishing sector to determine or with the possibility of having a sectoral determination for the fishing industry. It is a bit fragmented at the moment, where in the Eastern Cape, the squid industry has a bargaining council. Now, that is just part of the fishing industry, and it is only covering part of the country, as squid is mainly in the Eastern Cape, a court in the Eastern Cape. So we are, in this next financial year, 12-13, going to do the investigation with a view to having a sectoral determination for the entire fishing industry. So that is the work that will be undertaken there as one of the new sectors that we will be, because there is a gap in that the current bargaining council doesn't cover the entire industry. So that is what we will do in the next financial year, 12-13. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I'll deal with the questions related to inspections. The first question was in respect of protecting vulnerable workers. And the question was, we have domestic sector inspectors. And the answer is, currently as we speak, we don't have. The sectors that we have are covering all sectors. But in going forward, there are areas where we're trying to say we're going to have specialist inspectors. And then some of the inspectors will be still dealing with the issues around employment equity. Other type of inspectors will deal with the occupational health and safety area, and other inspectors then will be dealing with what we refer to as basic condition of employment act area. And under that basic condition of employment act area would be the domestic inspectors, so to say. But then,
I think the question actually mentioned also that was mentioned in Geneva. So because I think if we attend this like international conferences, when we come home,
yeah,
it's important that we do implement what we have agreed upon internationally, because now this is another year. We're going to go again to Geneva, isn't it?
Yeah.
And well, as South Africa, what are you going to say? Because, you know, it's good that we as members, we do go, we do take the study tours.
Yeah.
But it's important that when we come home, when we talk, when we sit with the department, then we see the implementation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the member mentioned Geneva. conference.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. And the second question is the related to do we do implement equity inspections against government? And then the answer is yes. Currently, as we speak, we are taking, for instance, the municipality in KZN to court on issues that are related to non-compliance in respect of implement equity. Some 2 years back, we also took a municipality in the Eastern Cape, and then in that area, the settlement was out of court, so it never reached court. But then, as we're speaking, in terms of the spheres of government, we are taking the issues that we have in front of us as inspectors. It's at the local government, yes, municipalities, provincial government, we also are doing inspections on them. And then we're at a stage where we're going to determine whether we're proceeding or not proceeding. But then with those others, we already are proceeding. Regarding national departments, I think at this stage, we have not yet targeted national departments. But then...
That's a good one.
So...
Oh,
yeah, I think we're doing
then
that.
Yeah. Then,
yeah. Yeah, then we'll go to national.
But you're national. Why didn't you start as national?
Now, here's the answer. Inspectors are down there.
Okay, and then the other question, Chairperson, was on the role that inspectors play in terms of education of the, in the agricultural sector. In that area, we obviously, as inspectors, we get involved, and then members can, for instance, remember or recall that currently we've got a program that's unfolding, and the program is led by the Minister of Labour. And then the sector that we definitely are targeting and looking at is the agricultural sector. And in all of those inspections, we do advocate issues of compliance with our labor legislation. And then we do obviously meet with the relevant stakeholders. We meet with the trade unions concerned. We also meet with the employers and then take necessary corrective actions. But I think the easiest task indicated earlier to say, in terms of capacity, we're not in a position to can meet most areas. But at least the bulk of areas, we are definitely responding accordingly. Thank you, Chairperson.
I just wanted to remember you mentioned the Convention on Domestic Workers, to update the committee. Of course, we are looking at ratification of that convention, but there are certain processes that we must follow. It is currently with the legal or the state law advisors at Department of Justice, whereafter it must also go to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to look at whether that convention is not in conflict with our international laws and even domestically. And then, of course, we have to go to NEDLAG and to Cabinet and then to Parliament. But the process is underway. Thank you.
I think from my side, there are 2 issues. The first one is the leasing versus buildings that we've built, which one is cheaper. And the second one is the rollovers. Unfortunately, on the first one, the DG, avoided the question that was asked. But in attempting to answer this one, I definitely can't see myself avoiding the issue of public works. Because from our side, we send the need assessments to public works. They search for the suitable accommodation. They contract with the landlord. And they bill us once we have started occupying. There has been a number of challenges on this process. We've got some issues around municipal services where quite a number of our offices were. I think the municipalities have cut some services on our offices because of the non-payment, and it's because of this process that they will bill the public works, then public works will bill you with us before they pay. There has been quite a number of issues around that. And also around the building of offices, I think we've got a quick example in Rustenburg where we are constructing an office there. I'm told that the building has stopped for one simple reason: public works did not register the plans to the municipality. So those are the challenges that we are experiencing. We can say a lot around this issue. As to whether it's cheaper to lease or build, in my view, it's cheaper to build, because currently with the leases that I'm sitting with, they escalate at the rate of between 8% and 10%, and as we have seen on my budget only increased by 6%. That means on a year-to-year basis, I'm incurring a shortfall on all the leases that we have. So to me, it would be better to shift those leases to buildings. Even on the state-owned buildings, there are some challenges. We are limited to maintenance to the value of 20,000 rand per maintenance, and it becomes a problem because even the maintenance of state-owned buildings, it has to go to public works. The other issue of rollovers, I think I wanted to allude on this so that when it happens next time, we don't make it an excuse. In my view, rollover in a normal business process is normal. Is rollover occurs when you have received the service before year end and you have not been billed. So due to normal processes with Treasury, we'll apply that amount that we have already committed will get given in the next financial year. So in a normal business process, it's a normal process because it will happen that in March we haven't received all the invoices from our suppliers. Mm-hmm. However, I think the issue that maybe might not be correct is when we surrender funds and we don't commit them to the National Treasury. That's where we'll endeavor to make sure that all funds are committed before your end. But the rollover part, just a normal process in a normal business world.
Thank you very much. We've got other questions, but we will send the questions that we have to. Do you want to say something?
Yeah.
You are going to the WIPA. And
yeah, I'm going to the WIPA. Yeah.
Chair,
you know, all the time we meet with departments, departments will say this thing, it's not. You know, our competence, it belongs to the other department. What I'm saying, the DGs, I think that they have their own meetings where they can raise these issues, that in my department, this issue was raised, and it belongs to your department. Can you attend it to it? And also the issue of low morale, it cuts across all the departments. So it means the departments come up with a collective effort to raise the morale of public servants. So that also can be discussed in the DG's meeting. That's what I wanted to say.
So DG, that is, I think you'll be the initiator. Yeah. So I think we've come to the end of our meeting because, you know, we've got too many heads in the select committee. We've got whips, you remember. So now I think at this point in time, let me thank the Department of Labor to say we thank you so much, but we will also support your budget vote. You know that we support it because we know that you're going to implement even the domestic workers inspectors. And also the computers, if you can assist, Henki, we were in Port Elizabeth. Henki, the labor center, if you can give them, Honorable Brunewald, I said the last person to speak was Honorable Jacobs. I'm not going to give you any more. I'm closing. No, don't just want to do that. Just keep quiet. I'm raising Henki because we went there. If you can just, give support to that labor center. They don't have laptops, you know, they don't have anything. But if you can, this remote labor center,
yeah.
The remote ones, not only Henki, because we were there at Henki, but I think there are those like Henki. Maybe they are even worse than Henki. If you can just give attention to those labor centers, please, DG. In that note, farewell back to Pretoria. We will see you during the budget vote. Thank you, members. We were supposed to adopt minutes. Please, 2 minutes. Can we look at the minutes of the... Last 6 minutes, please, you know, member.
Where are we now?
No,
this is
over
here.
I think all of you can.
Chair, on page one, I've looked at this. There's a correction there. We were told that Honorable Manzini is from Mpumalanga, not Northland. Page two, where am I? You gave me the other one.
Yeah.
I have page two, I had made. I didn't see anything on this. On page three, it's just a matter of number. Whether the community did not want to anticipate doing the work, which does not or is not, I think should be, is not going to be achieved. You will got it. Then the last three words there also, but rather I wanted to be realistic on it. Okay. Suppose step was the first step to relook at something there. Whether on the matter or not. Then the rest was fine with me. Thanks.
Thank you. Those are the
corrections. Honorable Kunabad, Honorable Sikom proposed adoption with amendment. Honorable Kunabad, seconded. Thank you, Honorable Member. So remember, last week when we said today we will go to a shelter employment in our city. We'll start as management, and we look at going in the afternoon. That is not going to be actually, it's not going to be helpful to us, because we will arrive there while people are preparing to go. So we rather look at the day where we will leave in the morning.
Yes.
We said we go in the morning and then we come for a meeting. Like the next week is the Department of Public Enterprises. How if we next week we go there in the morning, then when we come back, then Public Enterprises strategic planning is fine.
Yeah.
We check the parliamentary programs.
Yeah, we will check with the